You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 24 October. We get the grey listing decision today. My view, we will get off the list. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skulklo, strong Sasol update. The market really liked that. And Clicks results, modest revenue growth, but strong HEPS. Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat on results. Lafarge South Africa is coming right. And then thoughts from me, that gold collapse earlier in the week. What's the plan? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Durban making good on promise to get off world's worst port list. Nearly $1 billion investment in new cranes was unveiled this week, while container terminal volumes up 28.8% over the year. Business Day, Growthpoint cut reliance on Power Grid with 30% stake in a 390 million rand hydro plant. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.6%, NASDAQ almost a full percent higher. The East is mostly green, Sydney's down 0.2%, Tokyo 1.3% higher, Hong Kong's up 0.5%, Tencent up 0.25%. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures lower, 4,131. Brent higher, 65.56. Platinum higher, 1,602. And palladium weaker, 1,463. The rand, 17.33. Bitcoin, 110,400. And top 40 opening call, green open, but just 100 odd points, 0.1% higher.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Skulklo, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, let's kick off with those PSG numbers. The one thing that always stands out to me is you see turnover, group turnover, up 5.3%. Then HEPS up 14.1%. Dividend up 14.2%. They always got that nice leverage effect. These weren't bad numbers, but man, this is a stock that, well, I was going to say it's not cheap. Truthfully, it's never cheap.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, it's a tough one. You're asking the wrong person. I mean, working for the company. It's just phenomenal results. Over the past few years, set of results didn't disappoint either. I mean, it's just been going from strength to strength. Yeah, you mentioned it. You know, from a PE point of view, most probably not cheap. But you're asking the wrong person, mm-hmm. because I mean, I'm notoriously bad, you know, calling prices on shares, especially if they call them expensive. And there, yeah. I could just refer to Capitec. I mean, I've been saying Capitec is an expensive company or bank for pretty much 20 years. I've been wrong.
That's a good point, because one thing they do say, they put it in the results statement, total shareholder return, 17.3% compounded annual growth over a decade. It's been expensive. It has always been expensive. It probably always will be. I'm with you. I'm one of those who always miss it because of that fear around expense. But let's move on to Sasol, because you and I, we were on TV on Wednesday. At the end of the show, I turn to you. I ask you for a stock pick. You say Sasol. I'm like, yo, this man is brave. And then, boom. 13% yesterday. Talk me through Sasol. That update, come on. Did you have sight of the update, or was this just Mr. Skulklo knocking it out the park?
I'm going to retire while I'm ahead. I wish I had all my money there. Simon, as I explained to you on Wednesday, I mean, this company is just extremely cheap. I mean, we'd be sitting at a company that's trading very close to a 30% discount to its five-year average forward P. I mean, if you look at the forward P, even after the movement that we've seen yesterday, it's still sitting at a 4x forward P. So, I mean, this is really, really a cheap company. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they've got their troubles. They had their troubles. But I must say, you know, they've done a few small things right. I mean, when you look at, you know, Pikit Catalyst, I mean, the chemical margins, that's recovering. We saw yesterday in the operational update that they mention it, that the chemicals outperformed expectation despite the weak pricing. So the chemical side is doing really well. You can see they're continuously reducing their debt. That was the big, big worry. Yesterday, I think there was a few people that mentioned, well, but, you know, the movement yesterday was really more to do with the fact that Trump actually made this 180 degrees. I'll get to that again, and that kicked up the oil price. Well, just remember in the trading update yesterday, they mentioned already that they've hedged the 40% of the oil. And that's not a pure oil company anymore either, but they're 40% hedged their oil. Their break even is around about $55 to $60 per barrel. So I must say, I looked through the trading update. It was sort of as if the stars aligned. You had the Trump announcement, but also I thought the trading update looked really, really good. Synfuels up 9% year on year. The coal mining did really, really well. 18% up, you know, quarter on quarter. Yep. And as I mentioned, the chemicals were fairly resilient. Back to the sanctions. I think this was an interesting announcement, because that was the main driver. I mean, these two let's call it oil companies and Trump now are asking sanctions for pretty much account for about 5% of the global oil output. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why we've seen the oil prices kick up 5%. And why it's interesting, and why I call it the 180 degrees, is only a week ago Trump said, well, things are going well, and him and Putin will hold a summit in Budapest next week, and then they'll discuss, you know, the whole Ukraine. And there's that saying that says you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Now, a jump in the oil price to the magnitude that we've seen yesterday will most probably hurt the U.S. way, way more than any other country, because they are so finely tuned. They need to get inflation spot on to get interest rates moving downwards further. If you see a jump like we've seen yesterday in the oil price, this is not good. So geopolitically, things are definitely not over yet. And just a final thought. I mean, there was a very nice graph, or I can't call the source now, where this person looked at the correlation between the gold and the oil price. And he says, and it's a very valid one, where you see gold usually sort of a leading indicator, two-year leading indicator for the oil price. Now, if that's anything to go by, man, then suddenly that, let's call it, stagflationary environment just comes into play again.
Yeah, but I'm looking at Cecil price to book at 0.5, forward PE, as you say, a little over 4. And they're doing everything that they can manage well, and that's all you can expect from management. It was a strong update. Yeah, oil helped, but that update wasn't bad either. We'll leave it there, Mr. Guru Skolklo, PSG. You, Old Oak, appreciate the early morning. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you holding Sasol? I'm not, but have your vote, have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat. Results for the 6 months ending August saw revenue up 29.9%, HEPS up 92.3%, and the dividend of 20 cents declared. Andreas, appreciate the time today. Let's dig into construction materials, because that's where Lafarge South Africa is sitting, and good progress being made. It's moving in the right direction. We've chatted before that the delay in the acquisition was not ideal, but you're getting things in the right direction and looking good at Lafarge.
Simon, yeah, it is really, you know, when we bought the business, we saw a lot of potential in there. And when we got in there, we knew, you know, we had a lot of work to do to get the turnaround done. And the turnaround is really progressing really, really well. And I think bottom line is we're starting to see the value that we thought that would be there.
And you also mentioned you're regaining lost market share, which is always one of those things. I mean, it's always the plan, but you hope the customers come back, and they are, which means you've got the product mix and you've got the pricing.
Yeah, we've been very, very blessed in that market. The product mix that we have and the price point at which we can make it available is really working very well for us. And yeah, the cement business is it was in a very, very difficult position when we took it over. And we're glad to say that it's starting to make a small contribution.
In the construction materials, over the last couple of times we've chatted as results come, you've mentioned Transnet sort of coming, that they're a client of yours. You're obviously also a customer of theirs. Are you still seeing activity from Transnet? And I ask because we're seeing some green shoots, and you're one of the indicators of those green shoots.
Yeah, we see it from both sides. They're a big customer, as you say, and we can see that they are very, very serious with their maintenance in the way they approach it and how they are spending on the right aspects of their business to get that right. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we are also a customer in the fact that we use them on our iron ore line, and you would have seen that our volumes on the export side has also increased because of a better performance from Transnet.
Yeah, that's about commodities. You mentioned that H2, they're going to be doing some maintenance, but maintenance is a good thing. Make no mistake around that. The bulk commodities, iron ore good, really good domestic sales there. That had a really good period. H2, maybe a little harder with the ArcelorMittal SA shuttering of the Newcastle, but doing very well.
Yeah, the H2 will still be significantly better than H2 of last year is what we expect. But we had a bit of a windfall in the first half when there was a bit of an extension at Newcastle that we didn't expect. So we saw a little bit of extra sales, which now have fallen away. But the bulk of our sales have always been to Funnabale Park.
Yeah. Inkmati, the anthracite. The challenge here is ferrochrome smelters locally being shuttered. And I think you actually mentioned as of August 2025, locally they are all shuttered.
Yeah, that was a shock. That Inkmati was a mine that we bought a few years ago. It was also a turnaround, and it really, really started to perform very well in the first half of this year. And we saw the culmination of all the turnaround activities actually getting to a point where the mine was performing very well, and then all of a sudden the domestic market fell away. So yeah, that was a big pity. The good thing about that is we now are putting an extra effort into the international market and exporting from our mine. So when the ferrochrome smelters come back, that will actually just make us stronger.
International, is that the shipping into Mozambique?
Yeah, we export from Mozambique, from Maputo. And then, that mostly goes to the Middle East and Europe.
The Inkmati, how's the mine operating? I mean, obviously there's some challenges. We mentioned the ferrochrome smelters, but the mine operationally itself, how's that doing?
Yeah, we were doing really, really well when we actually broke all the records, all-time records in the last couple of weeks before we had to start slowing down because of the fall in demand. So operationally, this business, we've got a very, very strong team that we've built up over a couple of years. We've overcome, all the known obstacles in terms of graves that had to be moved and power lines and EIAs and everything. So everything was sorted out when the market started declining. So we hope to be able to ramp up very quickly as soon as the market returns.
Cash flows, lots going to working capital. The numbers, I looking at the headline numbers, I thought we'd see more into the cash flow, but then it occurred to me, I'm imagining a lot into working capital. I mean, you're getting the Lafarge operating, and that will start to flow maybe H2, maybe FY 2027.
Yeah, we do expect in the second half of this year to see a significant improvement in cash generation. We, comparing this first half of this year with the first half of last year was already a big improvement.
Yeah.
But as you say, with the extra sales, especially on the domestic iron ore market, where we sell on a 60-day payment term, and the significant increase that has taken quite a big investment in working capital. But that should stabilize and maybe even unwind a little bit in the second half, and we expect strong, very strong cash flow in the second half.
And that then plays because the other is debt, and the debt is mostly around the Lafarge. That will then help bring the debt down. You also talk around selling some of some smaller assets to reduce the debt burden.
Yeah, correct. We have been selling a couple of smaller assets that were not contributing to the bottom line, and would, you know, what some of the very small assets would much better suit in a small private business. So we've sold them, and we're also in the process of the disposal of assets that the Competition Commission required of us to do. So that hopefully will also, if everything goes well, can be concluded in the second half of this year.
A last question, a very small part, but probably a big part of the future is your future materials and metals. Still small, but huge opportunity here. And I mean, it's generating some revenues. We're not absolutely going to knock it. How's that going? That really is a future bet in many senses.
Yeah, that's so true, and we've actually done some really exciting research R&D work in the recent past, and you know, I think that this business 2 to 3 years from now can be a very, very serious contributor to our bottom line, but it is unfortunately it's not a business that that will you know, just fire up immediately. Yeah. It's going to take us another 2 years or so to develop it to its full.
We leave it to Andreas van Heerden, CEO Afrimat. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Thoughts from me on the gold collapse earlier in the week. And to be clear, Monday, 8% down. That is a big move for a commodity as large as gold. And a stock, sure, but for gold, it is big. But let's be clear, it has also doubled since the start of the year, even after that sell-off. It's still above $4,000, and it's still up some 10% for the month of October. So in perspective, scary, but yeah. The point is that when markets are worried, people are going to sell whatever's easiest, and gold is one of those easy things to sell. Trump had threatened a 100% tariff, extra tariff on China. So assets are selling off. Stocks, cryptos, gold. If it moves, you sell it. But the story for gold remains. Central bank buying post the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when they suddenly realized that your US dollars could be confiscated. Dollar weakness, which is a core part of the Trump economic policy. Global government sovereign debt. All the worries that have pushed gold over the last many years remain in place. And as for the gold miners, they are making monster profits. Last year, they were earning around $2,200 on average per ounce of gold. Costs around $1,700. Those are broad numbers, but basically, they were making $500 an ounce. Let's assume costs, let's say they've gone to $2,000. Makes the math easier. They're probably now making in excess of $1,000 per ounce. In other words, their income, or their profit has doubled. So you know, it can continue going. So the gold miners remain extremely profitable. The story for gold remains. It is going to be volatile, and it had 9 weeks up in a row, which was a record. We're looking now at a 10th week, and it looks like it's going to be red this week. But my expectation is that what we've seen gold doing over the last 3 years is it'll probably continue. It runs and then it consolidates. And if you look at a weekly chart of the gold price, that's exactly what it does. It runs up and then it consolidates. And some of those consolidations are lengthy. We had the run up to and just after the liberation tariff days back in April. And then it went sideways all the way through to August. Then it starts to run again. My sense is we might still go lower, but then we will consolidate and then it'll run again. The story for gold remains, and gold investors remain invested in gold. Fun fact, JP Morgan, their average price for 2026, $5,055 an ounce. That's it for today. We were chatting with Jimmy Moyoha yesterday. We're chatting about the famous brand's results, also contrasting a bit with Spur. Modest growth in challenging conditions from famous brands, but they were cautiously optimistic about the future, more about their QSR than their casual sit-down dining. But we asked you if you were eating out or getting takeaway. Almost half said a little, but it's tough. A third said, nope, too expensive. The rest of you said, yes, absolutely. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.
We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, Absa Africa Financial Markets.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.